Blog Talk Radio.
I'm coming out of my comfort zone. Some of the places in my life that comfortable, God is challenging me. Trust and believe, for to go where I've not gone, I must do what I've not done.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to As a Kid Radio Show. This is your host, August Crenshaw. Happy to be back. Happy to join in. And let's dine and feast on the word together. You know, it's amazing what God has done in my life and where he's brought me from and what he's brought me to. I am excited. I think I'm always excited to talk about today's topic. And, you know, this time there wasn't a conversation. There wasn't a story. But I did notice something on Facebook, as usual. And it actually was a very, very good thing. But, you know, me, because I'm somewhat controversial, yes, I said somewhat, I started thinking about things from a different perspective. Someone that my husband was very cool with at the last church that we went to, he got ordained. And his wife, you know, in celebration, posted some pictures of him up. And, of course, I congratulated him because I'm proud of him, you know. I didn't get to know him that much. I know him and my husband connected. I didn't really connect with his wife, but he was very, it's what it appears to me, he was very passionate about the relationship with my husband, and he was very giving once we had our daughter. And, you know, just overall what I saw from him, he seemed like he was a pretty, you know, stand-up guy. So on one hand, I was very proud to know that he was ordained. And, you know, it was a very momentous occasion for what just happened for him this past weekend. But, like I said, after seeing that, it got my thought process going about why there aren't more ministers out there. And I honestly believe that it has a lot to do with the fact that man has had too much of his hands in on the process. Now, excuse me, do not think that I'm about to say that I am against the seminary, that I am against the ordination process, because that's not what I'm about. You all know that. But I am about having your mind being open to unorthodox methods. I am about people thinking outside of the box and not getting caught up with the status quo and doing things the norm. Because it seems to me that most people, once you start saying ministry, minister, that we all begin to think pulpit. And if we're not thinking pulpit, then we're thinking organization. And if we're not thinking organization, we're thinking activity in the church. You know, the minister of the music, the minister over the praise dance team, you know, the minister over men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry. The bottom line is it always ends up being some form of a function, activity, or an organization. And when I think about the people that were ministers back in the Bible days, I mean, we don't even get into all of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? We just get into people that was just spreading the gospel, point blank. Somebody like Paul, who was always doing it from a jail cell. Well, and what I've learned in Scripture is that more often than not, I see men and women becoming ministers without seeing who their quote-unquote mentor was, so to speak. I mean, don't get me wrong. We know what Paul did for Timothy and Titus. You know, even if I take it back to the Old Testament, we know what happened with Samuel when his mother gave him away to be groomed to become a prophet and a minister of God. So, you know, I understand that there are oftentimes a process into which this thing happens. But once again, that's not the story for everybody else. You know, Paul on a regular basis emphasized that he was who he was in God, not because of man, but because of God. So the guys know me. I usually always have a personal testimony or, you know, or someone that's very close to me. You know, I'm going to be very honest with you. With me, I am a minister, and I know that I am, but I am not a traditional minister. And if I had waited on even half of the ministers that I went to church under, I would still be waiting to this day. You can't tell me that I wouldn't be. I was always very transparent about the call on my life. I've always been very active. God has laid several anointings. You know, I've been anointed to do many different things, but I've never had a pastor take the time to do anything with me. And I don't know if that's because I'm a woman, because they didn't believe, but I know that in some cases I do know for a fact it was because I didn't fit the mold of their protocol. It's not that I was a rebel and I didn't want to do what the pastor said had to be done, but the way my life was shaped and the way that I was moving, it didn't allow for me to go the direction that they wanted me to go. And instead of them saying, hey, this is someone who's kind of outside of the box, maybe we need to look at what we're doing and work with her differently, that didn't happen. So the bottom line is let's just understand this. I'm not talking about, you know, people that are, I'm not talking to people that are caught up on themselves and you're calling yourself. Trust me. I know that technically the Bible says that everybody's called. We're all called to believers, be believers, and we're all called to spread the gospel. But some of you out there, you know that there's a burning sensation in your heart to be something bigger and better than, to do more than what you're doing, to be a stand-up woman or man of God. But the way and the route in which you're going to get there is not going to be traditional, and you just need to accept that. Your format and how you reach people and what you do is going to deviate from the norm. So you guys already know I'm hard on just plain old church stuff, regular old church business. So I've used this example without great detail. I'm going to use an example to show you how God was pouring in me and burning in my spirit to be a minister, and this was back in 2011. So back in 2011, right before Easter, it was that Friday, I believe. If it wasn't Friday, it was Saturday. That Friday-ish before Easter, that was when the tornadoes hit through St. Louis, Missouri. And there were, oh, my God, areas where houses were flatlined. It looked like the stuff you would see from back in the day in county areas, not in the prominent city area where I was at. And my husband and I agreed that we would go to one of the primary places where they were sheltering, housing people in Maryland Heights Community Center, and that we would go there and we would take a little bit of money that we had. Now, mind you, we had just moved into a house. So going from that transition, we didn't have a whole lot of money, but we did have some money. And we took our kids with us, and we went and we asked, what is it that we could do or get for the people, you know, that they were requesting? Because we knew that people were going to miss stuff. It's easy to just donate bags of clothes or canned goods, but, you know, somebody might specifically need a pair of size 14 panties, a toothbrush, a comb, whatever it is. So we did that. And what ended up happening is when we came back to the shelter, the community center, after going shopping, it hit me. These people have business to take care of, and their life has been flatlined. And it was predominantly women. And I talked to someone that was in the community center and asked, could I come there and do the hair for the women? For those of you that don't know, I'm a licensed cosmetologist. And so I made sure I brought all of my own supplies and products. You know, some of these people, if they wanted weave, I went and bought weave for them the whole nine. And for like 3 days until they shut it down, I stayed there every day, all day, doing hair. Now, here's the crazy thing. Yes, people, I know sometimes you may think I am hard on the church. But somebody got to get hard on the church because it's too commercial. It's too much of a freaking freak show. Excuse me, but that's how I feel. You know, the crazy thing is that this happened right before Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday for you uppity people, whatever you want me to call it. The point is, before right before the weekend Sunday, when we acknowledge the resurrection of Christ, is when this happened. Now, what I didn't understand, and you all helped me understand, is why all of these ministers, preachers, pastors, ordained men and women of God were not shutting down their programs, their Easter bunnies, their Easter eggs, their nativity scenes, their Easter, their resurrection plays, whatever you want to call it, and going and being to the aid of the people who have been traumatized immediately. You want to show somebody Jesus is alive? You want to show someone that he's breathing? Get your tail and go help these people that have been hurt, because the good, the bad, and the ugly were all victimized. You know, the rain, the sun shines and the rain falls on the just and the unjust the same. Everybody was impacted by this storm. So my thing was, let us go and do what I believe should be done. We ain't going to sit in church all day and do business as usual. So like I said, my husband and I agreed, and we did that. And what ended up happening is that our house, which had a very large basement, became a Goodwill. We had pots and pans and shoes and blankets and clothes and, you know, from men and women and children, the whole nine. A lot of people that I knew in the church, they donated. People donated money. They trusted me to do right by it. I was able to pay for hotel rooms for certain people, you know, once the Red Cross and all of those, I mean, oh, Jesus, you know, the organization, the American Red Cross, you know, couldn't house them anymore and stuff like that. And something else happened. After getting all those items, I had so much stuff that there was an overflow. I had way, way, way more than I actually needed. And shortly after that, my father-in-law emailed me and said, hey, do you still have all of those items? Because then Mother's Day was right around the corner, and a woman had gotten burned out of her home. Her kids and herself were safe, but they lost everything that they owned. So me being who I was, I said, this is great. I'm really feeling used by God, right? So I start packing up these boxes, and I'm getting everything. You know, like I said, comforters, pots, pans, dishes. You know, I even had a couple of, you know, decorative items, clothes. You know, they gave me the sizes and all of these things. And I went, and from there, I made a delivery. She was staying in a shelter. Now, the shelter that she was staying in was actually a shelter for battered women. That's where she worked. She wasn't a battered woman, but that's where she worked. And so I put these items there. And when you go into places like that, because of security reasons, you have to show your ID and you have to sign forms. Well, I didn't know all of this in the beginning. I found out later. But this letter came to me. And I want to share this letter. It's quick. And then after this letter, trust me, this is all making a point. We're going to get somewhere. But this was dated on May 26, 2011. It says, Dear Mrs. Crenshaw, I just want to drop you a note to thank you for your generosity and giving spirit that meant to my children and I after our house caught on fire on Mother's Day. The items you gathered to donate to total strangers, the comforters, pots and pans, dishes, silverware, new undergarments, clothing items, and so on, were such a tremendous blessing to us. Words fail to convey the gratitude that I feel for the efforts you made on behalf of people you never met. I know that God had his hands in this, as he had throughout this entire experience, protecting my children and myself and keeping us from harm or peril. But in this area in particular, it is as if he knew exactly what we needed. And to prove it was him and his doing, the things we received were the exactly things I would have chosen for myself. Some of the things were so much like me, it was almost frightening. Others even commented, that's you, Miss Carla, as I pulled certain items from the boxes. I wondered if you knew me, but then I realized that he knows me, and that's just how he shows us his presence and his love. By touching the heart of someone and putting it on their heart to do something this special for a total stranger, we see our Father's love for us. For that, I humbly say thank you. Thank you for your generous contribution that will help my family and I rebuild from the ashes. thank you for thinking of everything we had an immediate need for and providing it with such care, love, and style. My children and I will be eternally grateful to you for all you have done for us and appreciate you beyond measure. May God continue to bless you and keep you in his loving care with sincere gratitude. And then she put her name. Now, that right there, even to this day, still sends chills to me every time that I read it. You know why? Because I was at a season in my life where I was doing things under, quote, unquote, as a kid ministry, and I was beginning to wonder what in the world I was doing. It was beginning to get so overwhelming to me that I was like, I started to actually feel fear. And I started feeling counterproductive emotions, you know. But God, in his graciousness, she doesn't understand what she did for me by sending in that letter. She boosted my confidence. And from that day forward, I had an even stronger zeal to move forward in the will of God, to operate in ministry, to do things that I had never done before, all in the name of this ministry that he gave me way back in 2006 called As a Kid. And I said that I, whether it was one person, 100 persons, 1,000, 1,000,000, that I was going to do what it was that God had called for me to do. So my question is, what's your call? What are you supposed to be doing? And why are you not doing it? Is it because you're waiting for someone else to validate you? Because if that's the case, some of you may be waiting for a very long time. I want everyone to think, listen to me, you know, if you get a chance, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. You know, Paul was a very powerful man in the Bible, but I think a lot of times a lot of us miss a very key thing that he said repeatedly, okay? I'm going to go a little bit fast. I'm sorry if you don't get to follow along with me, but you know I'm always trying to keep moving, you know, for the sake of time. So I'm going to repeat again. I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 1, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Okay? Let's stop right there. Then if you can keep on turning the pages, I want you to go to Galatians. Go to Galatians also chapter 1, and we're going to see a theme with a little bit more clarity. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, this is when he's doing his greeting, an apostle, not for men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Okay? Let's try this again. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. I think you all get the gist. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And you'll see the same thing in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy. You're going to see the same thing going on and on again. You know, I think that some of us, you have to know when the Holy Spirit's talking to you. Like I said, I'm not talking about a bunch of hoopla. And I'm not saying that none of us have to be accountable to somebody. I'm accountable to somebody, but more than anything, My main mentor, my main mentor in my life is the Holy Spirit. You guys hear me brag about my cousin Shelton all the time, but I call on God before I call on him. You know, you all know how close I am to my husband and how he puts words and knowledge and he helps me to become a better woman every day, but I still call on God before I call on him. Who you are as a man or woman of God has been predetermined based on your relationship with him. Your ability to move forward as a minister and to get out of the box is going to be contingent upon you actually listening to what he has to say. You know, at the end of the day, if you keep on reading through Corinthians, you'll find in different spots, Paul has to keep on reiterating how it is that he does what he does. And he never gives credit to man. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when you read starting at verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, that right there, a lot of pastors have read that before, and they said, yeah, that's how I'm up here, this is how I'm ministering, because the Holy Spirit is moving through me. But I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to say that just period. How many of us have seen people where you look like little mini of whoever your mentors are? So, you know, if such and such is mentoring you, you know, you kind of follow their lead. You teach what they teach. You know what they know. You practice their ordinances and their styles, and you begin to see basically a cookie-cutter process for the quote-unquote ordination of ministers. But so, you know, everything you know and how you do is based on man. If it wasn't taught in a class, if it wasn't orchestrated by a leadership session, then you don't know it. You know, I talk about my mentor a lot, but there are a lot of things that we come to the table and we sit and feast on. It's like, hey, cuz, guess what I was reading? You know, when I tripped out, oh, for real? I was going to talk to you about that. We have those kind of conversations more than we sit there and have conversations where it's like, okay, I need to teach you this so you understand this in the Bible and you understand that and you understand, you know, this ideology and this philosophy and this principle and, you know, this Bible verse. That's not how the relationship goes, people. There's a relationship that I have with God that allows me to look at things and see them according to the spiritual wisdom that God has manifested, not with man's wisdom. Even when you read in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, which is an excellent chapter, you guys should just read the whole thing. If you go down to verse 13, you're going to see that same thing. You know, it's talking about the knowledge of God and the promises of God that we know of. And in 13, it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. I mean, think about it. How many of you have read a Bible verse and you feel like you're always getting something different, but really what you're getting different is always the difference that the pastor is teaching? It's like, oh, man, I never looked at it like that. You know, they say every time you read a Bible verse, you go back to it again and again and again, you get something different, you know. But no, but I'm talking about when you read it. How does it manifest in your spirit? How does it bring something different to you without the interpretation or intervention of any man whatsoever? And I'm going to be honest with you, church. I think that there's a very big problem because the way that I'm talking right now, if I had people that were willing to go toe-to-toe with me, you know, you would want to sit there and say, well, come on, August, you know what I'm saying? You know, you acting like we ain't supposed to listen to a man at all, or, you know, what about this situation and that situation? You know, and without even realizing that what you're doing is you're revving up because you're uncomfortable with the fact that an entity that you cannot see is what's supposed to be teaching you. It's much more comfortable to be able to say, oh, yeah, I did that because August told me that's the way that it goes. She taught me that. As opposed to saying this Holy Ghost over here that you can't see, don't know, they taught me that, and you could be like, oh, duh, maybe I didn't hear them right if you make a mistake, whatever. It's uncomfortable to think for a minute and say, you know what, I'm comfortable with where I am in my walk because God is ministering to me, not man. Because I'm going to tell you something, people, really think about it. Man will have a bias. Man will continue to have a bias in your decision-making process. And you want to know why? Men will have a bias because they remember who you used to be. They remember the mistakes that you made. They have a bias because they think everybody's path got to be like theirs because they knew all the drama they went through to get to where they going. They know the rumors and stuff that other people have said. You know, they just are not fit to get away from themselves. But the Holy Spirit is only concerned about a personal relationship. The Holy Spirit doesn't have any biases. If any, well, I take that back. Maybe he does have a bias, the bias that says that he believes in you wholeheartedly and that you're going to come through. A lot of times men don't even believe in you to the extent that they should. You know, we've got to be comfortable with letting the Holy Spirit be our teacher, not so that we can hold our heads up and be arrogant and never listen to anybody, but so we can hold our heads up, and when nobody else is speaking, we are still confident in what we're doing. You know, it says in Philippians 1:6 that matter of fact, it says that you should be confident. I'm not going there, but I'm just paraphrasing it. Philippians 1:6, it says you should be confident of this thing, that the one that began this work in you is going to complete it until the coming of Jesus. And the he is not your mentor. The he is not your pastor. The he is the Holy Spirit. What is it in John 14:26 where he says that the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things, whatever it is that he's taught you. We have got to really begin to understand that everything we need to know is right there to be granted to us by the Holy Spirit. And in addition to the Holy Spirit, the other place where we get it from is just specifically from the Word of God. You know, have you ever seen them men and women of God who always talk like, yeah, you know, the Lord gave me this revelation, and they present it as if the Lord is only revealing things to them? You know, I've been under them kind of pastors where they would even tell you, God didn't tell you that because he didn't tell me that, you know, like as if they're on such a higher level that that's why they get a certain level of revelation, you know what I'm saying, and you don't. I've never seen anything so grossly taught in the church in my entire life, because it's all just about the freedom that you allow the Holy Spirit to move. And sometimes I say, let me rephrase that. Sometimes it's not even about that. People think about this. A lot of times, even when you're in a state of rejection or you're ignoring God, he still is always trying to pull you to him and to woo you and to romance you, that he still does things to let you see and know that he's real. There's no special thing going on, you know. It says in Romans 16:25-26, check this out. Romans 15:25-26, if you want to write it down, it says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the ministry kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let me read the Message version. All of our praise rises to the one, capital O, one who is strong enough to make you strong, exactly as preached in Jesus Christ, precisely as revealed in the mystery kept secret for so long, but now in open book through the prophetic scriptures. All the nations of the world can now know the truth and be brought into obedient belief, carrying out the orders of God, who got all this started down to the very last letter. All our praise is focused through Jesus on this incomparably wise God. Yes. I hope you all are getting the theme at which I'm trying to drive home. This is not a very difficult subject to talk about. It's clear, cut, dry, and to the point. The bottom line is just pay attention to God. Listen to who he is. You know, don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, sometimes I think that the reason why we want someone to validate us is because then we'll have someone that will be able to say, you did this right, you did this right, okay, you passed this test, you took this class, and you went through this procedure, and you know what, at the end of the day, if you're looking for all of that validation from man, you're still going to get you're going to get disappointed, because all of us are going to make some kind of mistake. But you know where you will lose the risk factor of mistakes the most? Think about the letter that I read. The risk factors minimize greatly when you love someone. When you love someone, even when it looks obscure, you will do right by them. If you did wrong, your heart will allow you to correct it. Even that is a testimony to Jesus. People, we can't be afraid to make mistakes. If you do something wrong and you hurt someone, to come back and apologize in a world that seems so doggone selfish and don't want to apologize for nothing, that right there alone is an act of God. I don't know how you feel, but I know, you know, I've accepted the fact that some people will never apologize to me, but in this past week, I had somebody come to me that I never thought would apologize, and I didn't expect one. We just moved on with our relationship, but out of the blue, they did. And it still did something outstanding for my heart and my spirit. The bottom line is there's plenty of you out there have things that you're supposed to be doing. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be confined to the four walls of a church, the typical set of ministries. It doesn't mean that it has to be an organization. You don't have to go get, I believe it's called a 501(c), whatever in the world that government number and that county is. All it means is that you're supposed to get out here and start having an impact on the world. So whatever gifts there are that you have, it may just be your presence. People being excited about being around someone like you and seeing that there's something different. And later the conversation will come, how do you do it? How are you that way? And you give all credit and praise to God. So, hey, be like Paul, a minister called according to the will of God, not of men or by men. Be who God has called you to be. I don't know if there are any questions or comments out there. This was just a really straightforward show today, sweet, simple, short, to the point. Hopefully it will provoke some thought for you later on afterwards. But I don't know, maybe someone does have a comment right now. I'll go through the announcements until someone pushes the one if they do. Bottom line is, you know, all the information, but just in case I may always have some new people, email me, augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com. That's AugustCrenshaw, or Facebook me, August Crenshaw at Facebook. Definitely always looking forward to questions, comments, and suggestions for future shows. And even if there's some, you know, critiques, you might, if you ever catch me slipping in a word, hey, I'm excited. Let me know. So moving forward, I just have one other last announcement. Most of you know that prior to our big move to Houston, I had launched my jewelry line, and then I found out I was pregnant. Oh, my God, there were just so many things that were going on. But you know what? The show did not end. It just was temporarily halted. I am very happy and excited to say that Created is back up and moving and thrusted and thriving even stronger than it was before we left. Please take a chance to go check us out, Created 75, www.created75.com. And you can also follow the link from there to go to Etsy if you're interested in any purchases. I just want to thank you all for any support in advance as God is leveraging me and moving me to advance my business. So with all of that being said, we don't have anybody on here. I just thank God for you all tuning in. May this have provoked your thought process and maybe get some more ministers out there on the street. Thank you and praise you. Love you, Lord. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.